Let's get more reaction now to that scathing Justice Department report on racial bias in Ferguson, Missouri. Late yesterday, Attorney General Eric Holder said the city police systematically stop people for no reason other than race, including a black man cooling off in his car after playing basketball.
The officer proceeded to accuse the man of being a pedophile. He prohibited the man from using his cell phone and ordered him to get out of his car for a pat-down search, even though he had no reason to suspect that the man was armed. And when the man objected, citing his constitutional rights, the police officer drew his service weapon, pointed it at the man's head, and arrested him on 8 different counts. Now, this arrest caused the man to lose his job.
In addition to the Justice Department report citing arrests solely to raise city revenue, something the department says is happening in other cities as well, a White House task force on policing released its report Monday, recommending policies to change the system. We want to ask our next guest about both. Philadelphia Police Commissioner Charles Ramsey was on that task force. Commissioner, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
This systematic racial bias for revenue in cities across the country, is this something you and others have been talking about privately?
Well, certainly during our deliberations as part of the task force, but it's not surprising. Just like any other segment of society, we do have issues that have to be overcome and have to be addressed as it relates to race and gender, sexual orientation, anything that makes a person slightly different from what the mainstream would consider to be the norm.
Well, late in the day yesterday, Ferguson Mayor James Knowles gave a press conference. Should his first words have been, Ferguson Police Chief Thomas Jackson is fired?
Well, I'm not going to get into the politics. That's a mayor's decision. But certainly they need to make sure they're on the same page as they move forward to make the changes necessary to improve that department.
Well, look, yesterday we talked to a young activist from Ferguson who said that he felt that, in a funny way, it was more systematic than race-based. He pointed to Cleveland, which he pointed out is led by African-Americans, and he said some of the same things were happening there. He said it's more a part of the system. Your task force is about trying to change that system. Start with trust and legitimacy. How do you rebuild trust after this devastating Justice Department report?
It's very difficult, but it is possible, and it starts with building relationships. You can't just have police officers running from call to call. They have to actually be out and interact in a positive way with community, not just responding to the crisis of the moment. It doesn't matter if the officer is black, white, Latino, Asian, male, female. Officers are capable of developing that kind of relationship. And if you have people working for you that hold these kinds of biases and they can't overcome them, then they simply should not be police officers.
When you talk about oversight, how do you do that? Because I think if I read correctly in some reporting, you expressed surprise that there wasn't a sort of a national database of lethal police actions.
Yeah, I really thought there was some central database, but I found out that there really isn't such a thing. Most departments do report uses of deadly force. Apparently, some don't.
Even though there's a 1994 law that requires the Department of Justice to gather data about excessive force.
You have to have follow-up, and there has to be some sanction for those that don't.
Yeah.
But that's not easy. We have 18,000 police departments, 17,935, I think, is the exact number. That's a lot of police departments, and trying to get universal compliance is a difficult task. We need to have that central database so that we know how many people are shot, how many people are injured at the hands of police, any other serious injuries that take place that have nothing to do with gunfire. Hopefully, working with the Bureau of Justice Statistics and others, we are able to establish that database.
And what about who gets to investigate lethal shootings? Your panel is recommending an independent investigation, but that's been very controversial. How do you enforce that?
Well, it is controversial, and the one thing about it, the federal government really has limited power in terms of forcing jurisdictions to do things. But we do make the recommendation. The appearance of impropriety is something that has to be addressed. If we have a use of force that results in fatality and in custody death, then there needs to be an independent review of the incident, and there needs to be someone conducting the investigation who is not a part of the agency involved. But it's going to be up to each individual jurisdiction to decide how best to do that.
Well, and that's where activists like the one we spoke to yesterday are despondent, because they say it's all well and good that there's been this flurry of activity. But as you pointed out, the federal government really doesn't have that much jurisdiction. You can't enforce these things. So how does it work? I mean, it's being said that Ferguson has to comply with some of the Justice Department requirements, that they revamp their department or else face a lawsuit from the department. But we're hearing that it doesn't have a lot of teeth in it. It wouldn't have a financial penalty.
Well, I mean, the power comes from the people in the jurisdiction. People have to vote. People have to put people in office that are going to follow recommendations that they feel are appropriate. And if the people in office aren't doing what you want them to do, then you remove them and you put people in that do. So the power's with the people, not with the federal government, not with the state government, not in a mayor's office or a police chief's office. It's with the people.
Well, let's move on to body cameras. The task force that you were again a part of did not recommend body cameras for police, but we know the pilot programs have started, including in December in Philadelphia. 30 Philadelphia police officers received cameras. And you said you want to expand that. So what's the hesitation about recommending it from the task force?
First of all, people all want body cameras right now. But what happens the first time a manufacturer, in order to get an edge, decides they want to put facial recognition software on that camera? You're still going to feel the same way about it? I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but there are constitutional issues, there are privacy issues, and that's where the discussion ought to take place before any new technology is used by police. Technology is moving faster than the law, and certainly policy within police departments can keep pace with. So we didn't want to date this. And there are some serious things that need to be considered in terms of cost. The cameras themselves, but it's storage, it's editing. How long do you maintain these films? What about people who are captured on the camera that have nothing to do with anything that's going on? Do we have to edit, pixelate their particular images? It's personnel, it's cost, it's all those kinds of things that have to be taken in consideration. And then you have to have the right infrastructure in terms of your network to be able to upload and download.
Well, Commissioner Ramsey, do you agree with some, I'm looking at a statement from the International Association of Chiefs of Police, who say that, you know, maybe outside of the most blatant, egregious practices we're hearing about out of Ferguson, you know, with street cops, that outside of that, that the police may be getting a bad rap for something which is really part of a larger system. There are prosecutors. There are judges. There's a whole chain of people who are involved in landing people in jail for small fees that they couldn't pay.
Well, one, we need to take a broader look at the entire criminal justice system, from prosecution, courts, corrections, reentry. But I do think that because so much attention is being paid to Ferguson and other high-profile incidents, that it has tended to do the very thing that some people are accusing police of doing, and that is stereotyping an entire profession, making it look like everyone is doing things, inappropriately. Everyone is acting in a very biased way, and nothing could be further from the truth. I'm an African-American male. I've been in this business for 47 years. I've seen some good things. I've seen some bad things. But what I do know is that not every cop is racist. Not every cop has those kinds of issues. Not every cop treats people disrespectfully. We have an issue. We need to own the problem as a profession, and we need to take aggressive steps toward fixing it. But everyone needs to take a step back and not indict an entire profession. So let's not just focus on one thing, but let's fix the problem.
Commissioner, we've spoken before. This is the most animated I've heard you. And I guess this is what I was trying to get at the outset. This report must have made you sick to your stomach.
No, it didn't. It just gave me the fire to do everything I can to fix the problem. I see things as challenges that need to be overcome. It's serious. It is. It's embarrassing. It's all those things. But I focus on solutions. I don't allow myself to get down and get depressed about any one particular thing because, one, I know that Ferguson is not representative of the entire profession of policing. I also know that not every cop in Ferguson buys into the culture that apparently exists there. But that doesn't mean that you minimize it. We have to aggressively root it out because we have too important a position in society. And we need to be there to protect people's constitutional rights, not abuse people's constitutional rights. And we've got to rid our ranks of those people that would abuse their authority and their power.
So not sick to your stomach, but fire in your belly.
That's right.
Yeah. That's Philadelphia Police Commissioner Charles Ramsey. Commissioner Ramsey, thank you.
Thank you.